So before we start, let's have some ideas for pictures we might like to draw. We have that scene of Jesus walking on the water. That's a classic. We'll also look at Jesus feeding the 5,000 later on. So maybe draw Jesus giving out basket loads of bread and fish out of nothing. Maybe you could show what Psalm 107 is talking about. Show Jesus telling the waves to go all the way up to heaven and then all the way down to the depths again. Finally, you might want to draw Jesus leading the apostles, all those sailors in the psalm, where they need to go. That's both in the psalm and our gospel reading, isn't it? Where would you want to go if you were sailing somewhere? And what would that look like? So may I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Why does Jesus do miracles? In our reading today, why did Jesus walk on the water? Well, you might say he's trying to show the disciples that they have nothing to worry about when it comes to storms. But when we look again at the psalm, Jesus made the storms in the first place. Does he give us trouble so that we feel better when it's all solved? But that isn't really what the psalm or the gospel reading says. But maybe if we're thinking about what we can get out of Jesus and his miracles, we're starting from the wrong place entirely. When the evangelist Mark comments on this miracle of Jesus, he mentions that it is related to the feeding of the 5,000. That's the miracle Mark and John mentioned just before this one. Jesus fed 5,000 people with a little packed lunch. He just kept pulling more and more food out of the packed lunch when there was only a little in it. Mark seems to suggest that Jesus walking on the water and him feeding the 5,000 mean the same thing. We can see that John has put these miracles together as well. But what do these two different miracles have in common? Why have John and Mark put these two stories together, and why call our attention to them? Well, one happens because of the other. Jesus is running away from the crowd. He fled because they wanted to make him king after seeing him make infinite food. At first, it might seem a little odd to be angry at people because they want to make you king. But Jesus is already king, isn't he? Remember the three wise kings that Jesus saw when he was only little? They didn't give him a crown or a throne or authority or anything like that. They just gave him gifts that you would give to someone who's already king. They weren't forcing him into their kingdom. They were showing that they were a part of his kingdom. They were joining in with Jesus, not inviting him to do something else entirely. When these people wanted to make Jesus their king, they were showing that they wanted to get something out of him. Jesus to them was just a means to an end. An amazing king that can end world hunger by just constantly doling out infinite food. But that isn't what Jesus is. He does serve us as this wonderful servant king. It's an amazing thing about Jesus. But he doesn't do as we say and follow our orders. We boss Jesus around. We're showing that we don't really believe that he is God and that the whole universe revolves around him. We're making the whole universe revolve around us instead. That is the purpose of Jesus feeding the 5,000. He was showing them that he is God, the very person who invented food and drink and matter in the first place. He's bending reality to do whatever he wants or needs. Only God can do that. But that doesn't sink into this crowd, really. In this case, Jesus wanted to feed these people because he loves them. He is good and he wants what's best for us. But he won't do as we tell him to do, as if we're in charge. We can't decide to go our own way and then drag Jesus along. It really is his way or the highway. Think about how weird that crowd's reaction to Jesus revealing himself to be God is. Like, all right, so he's God then. Well, let's get him on the food rota. Let's get him in their kitchen. I mean, what are you thinking? Dude, stop. Think about it. You just bossed God around. How does that make any sense? When we realize that Jesus is God, that's a terrifying thing. Think about Simon Peter, how he reacts when he finds out Jesus really is God. Peter just collapsed to his knees and told Jesus to get away. He says he's unworthy, he's too unworthy, he's scared. But think about what it means if Jesus is God. That guy has seen everything you've ever done, he's seen everything you've ever thought, he's seen every sin you've done or thought, and it makes him furious. He's the judge on Judgment Day. That's what that means. So Peter said, "You can't stay with me, a sinner." And Jesus told him to follow him. He said, "You have to follow me." And then he did. So let's get back to the apostles sailing across the Sea of Galilee. They've decided to go to Capernaum. That's where they think they're supposed to go. The other gospels say they landed at Gennesaret. Has John gotten it wrong? Well, it's interesting that John says they wanted to go to Capernaum at first, but he doesn't strictly say where they landed. Do they change where they're headed because now they're following Jesus? John says they landed where they wanted to be. The disciples really wanted to be with Jesus, and Jesus was headed to Gennesaret. Think about the sailors in the Psalm. The Lord has commanded all the wind and the waves to head in this one direction, but these sailors are straining against it with all their might. They can't win. When they try to guide the ship, they're tossed to and fro like drunkards, it says. But when Jesus guides them, they get to their desired haven safely. Or maybe another story might help us, that of Jonah. When Jonah goes away from the Lord, the storms casting him back and forth. When he goes where Jesus wants him to go, a sea monster carries him there safe and sound. Now, sea monsters are even scarier than big waves, but even they follow what Jesus tells them to do. Even though Jesus promises this world will have trouble, how many times have we made it more difficult for ourselves because we were just sailing away from where Jesus is going? So the apostles see Jesus heading another way. So they decide to follow him. And when they do, the storm's clear and the journey's easy. So the apostles didn't get what Jesus was doing with the food in the baskets. But maybe they start to get it when they see Jesus walking on the water. Psalm 107 is beloved by sailors. Wherever Christians have gone, those that sail keep praying this psalm because it tells us that Jesus is the Lord of the waves. The apostles are mostly sailors. They will have sung this psalm together. They would have sang about how Jesus commands the sea to rise and fall wherever he wants him to go because he is their king. Then here comes Jesus. The apostles see him coming just walking on the water, strolling, in fact, like it's nothing. Jesus got through to them what it meant to be king of the universe in a way they could understand. The waves are going where Jesus tells them to. Why aren't the apostles? With that in mind, they head off in the right direction. And even though they have hours left of sailing, they get there instantly. That's how easy Jesus makes following him. The crowd who did not understand what Jesus was up to, they head off to Capernaum in verse 24, where the apostles were going. They asked to understand why Jesus went across the sea and not to Capernaum. But he answers the real question they need to hear. They need to understand why Jesus fed the 5,000 in the same way the apostles had to understand why Jesus walked on the water. He makes it much clearer for them this time. He says they need everlasting bread in verse 27, and in verse 35 he says he is that bread. The people know what he means. They say, "No, you can't be this bread because we know your mum and dad." That's what this crowd says when they're complaining that Jesus calls himself the Son of God. So this crowd know what he's saying. Verse 59 says he says all this in Capernaum. exactly where they wanted him to give them unlimited bread. That's what he's doing. But now they know what it means, they don't want it. Now they know he's talking about them giving everything to Jesus and what he's doing, they don't want that. He wasn't offering bread like we eat. He was offering himself, and they don't want him. This is such a hard thing for these people that many of Jesus' followers abandon him. Not the 12, but some others. Now Simon Peter shows that the apostles have understood what Jesus was on about with walking on the water, although Jesus knows Judas secretly hates this. Peter says, "To whom would we go?" When he says, "Where you go, will you abandon me?" He's like, "No, we have nowhere to go. They have no desire to head to any other place. They don't want to follow anyone but Jesus." This shows that they finally understand what the miracles are for. Now, what does it mean for us? We don't see Jesus just walking around with us like the apostles did. Going where Jesus is going seems more difficult to figure out. Except, how did the apostles go where Jesus is going? They caught up with Jesus, and then he invited himself into their boat. He invited himself in once they set him as their destination. So we can go towards Jesus in a truly miraculous way as a church. When we have communion together, not today but on other weeks, we say we're eating the body of Jesus and drinking his blood. So we can go to Jesus there and he will lead us. But Jesus is with us when two or three are gathered together in his name. So even now, we've gone out of our way from the busyness of our lives to meet with him. All the miracles we talked about today, walking on the water, feeding the 5,000, delivering Jonah, and even teleporting the apostles, all point to one thing. We have to keep following Jesus. We have to constantly turn towards him. Just one moment of repentance isn't enough. We have to keep recalibrating, keep steering our ships towards him. We do not force Jesus into our own way. We couldn't do that if we tried. Straining against him is foolish, and it gets us nowhere. If we realize that miracles are moments of divine intervention, God showing his power in our everyday lives, we have to realize that the only miracle that really matters is Jesus. All the other ones point to him. So as we start our sermon series on the miracles Jesus did, let's remember what all the miracles are really about. The miracle maker. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed all the power, all the glory, all the praise, all the authority, and all the worship, now and forever. Amen.